You may be very, very familiar with the byline of Marie Antam. She is an award-winning, established South African journalist. She's also the assistant editor at the Daily Maverick. But did you know she dabbles in theatre? She dabbles in comedy. She's written books. In 2016, she released a memoir, Hitler, Verwoerd Mandela and Me. Marie Antam is one of my heroes journalistically. She's also a heck of a wonderful and funny person. And this week, she's putting the journalistic pen aside for just a moment and delivering a show at Deer Park Cafe. Only 50 tickets were put on sale. I wonder if there's going to be an extension. I wonder if they're going to bring in spare seats, because you would not want to miss this. Marie Antam, veteran journalist, editor, satirist, comedian, one mensch of a person. Am I fawning a little bit too much, Marianne?
Oh, you know, Lester, I'm going to take you every morning like an antidepressant.
Not many people know that you have this very, very deep history and entrenched roots in South Africa, not only just theatre performances, but also stand-up comedy. I've been entertained once or twice in one of your shows. That's when I was but an average person in Cape Town, simply just enjoying the scene before you even knew who Lester Kivett was. I've enjoyed you on stage probably before I even enjoyed the bylines and the in-depth, hard-nosed journalism.
Well, you've got a better memory than most people who went to the Zondo Commission. I was hoping people wouldn't remember that, but yeah, it's something I've always loved, and I love funny people. You yourself are one, a great punner. There's something about humor which makes life less scary. So yeah, it's something that's always been in my life, and I kind of usually keep it for myself. Don't ask people to pay. But you know, Eskom's got this lovely new facility now. You just put your whole salary in the account. You just go straight to Eskom. There we go. One shot.
Funny story. Mark Lottering credits you as being the person that says, get on stage. He was working as, I think, an usher at the Baxter Theatre at a point in his life. He was doing a couple of performances for friends. I think it was a karaoke bar or something. I think that's what he says. But he says, it's Marie Antam who says, write, start writing, and get on stage now. Is that part of the legend of both Marianne and Mark?
Well, Mark's legend, of course, now is completely universal, global, which is great. So, you know, Mark and I go back a long way. He was renting a little flat in Kloof Street, and one night over tequila, he just gave me an account of what it was like for him to work, I think, as a credit check person at Truworths or somewhere. And what he did at this particular point in South Africa's history as well was he did a rendition of, like, different kinds of South Africans and how they would respond to be asked for money. And it was so unbelievably funny and loving and gentle and so different to all the comedy we'd been hearing in South Africa. In fact, if you remember, at that time, there were people like, you know, the Biltong and Potros guys and the Barry Hiltons and mostly white guys making comedy about other people, you know. And so suddenly, I just thought, fuck, this is, excuse me, I swore early in the morning. I'm really sorry. I will go to confession. So yeah, that's the history, you know. And I said, Mark, listen, you know, please. And then I did something very, very South African. I dressed him for the show in a very tight pair of camouflage white leggings and a t-shirt. And then Mark did the show. And then I wrote the review as well for the Cape Times and basically said, listen, people, this is the thing. So, yeah, that's our history. And I mean, humor for me, South Africans, all South Africans have the most incredible sense of humor. I don't, nowhere else in the world, you know, do a lot.
Marianne, I still hope you're there. Is our humor part of this collective trauma response that we have historically, but also quite in a contemporary time, of how we deal with the load shedding, the water shedding, the guns, the crime, the constant reports of corruption and everything in between? Is humor our trauma response?
It is. It is. I sent a tweet to a friend of mine in Europe who knows South Africa really well. He lives here 6 months of the year. There was this massive shootout in Limpopo between the cops and the robbers, and then there was one of these photographs, and this guy tweeted, because all the robbers got killed, and this guy tweeted, well, at least they died doing what they love. You know? And only South Africans would get that joke on the existential level that it's been placed there, you know, in a moment of horror. You know, so South Africans are really funny. I laugh all day long. But the other thing, what prompted this show, actually, Lester, was I was asked to be a talking head at Sphere. And Brett Bailey does this annual thing where people who supposedly know more than others come and chat. And I had about 8 or 9 sets of people arrive at my table, and not one of them knew how South Africa stopped the nuclear deal. Not one. And I thought, no, man, uh-uh. Come on, guys. So much has happened since 2016. You have to celebrate, really, what has happened in South Africa. And so that prompted me to sort of think, well, let me share. Let me load shed a little bit of what I've seen as I've traveled. I traveled from Cape Town to Durban before the elections. I went to Urania Nogal. They let me in. I did say to them, can black people come here? And then they said to me, yes, but they don't feel very comfortable.
I've been 3 times. I've been 3 times to Urania, Marianne. Not out of choice. I didn't deliberately say I want to go see the Cook Sister Monument. But it is a really, really interesting South African experience that we could travel from one extreme to this citadel of division, Urania, and also similarly have the citadel of corruption the other side of the country at Nkandla and KZN.
Where exactly. But what's even weirder, Lester, is that a delegation from Urania have been going to the Eastern Cape to meet a king in the Eastern Cape. So South Africa that we live in today, I also wanted to write a book. Well, when you tell people that, that means you're never going to do it, but I will. And it's called Are We There Yet? And so it sort of prompted the show as well, because when I drive around this country, I lived in apartheid South Africa, as you did too, as many South Africans our age and younger, you're younger than me. This is nothing like that. Nothing like that. And I'm free in the middle of all of this horror and other stuff. But I want to know, who are we? Are we there yet? Are we in the place? And we are and we aren't. And I wanted to celebrate, actually, more than, because if there's anybody who knows the cuck, you know, and myself and Karen Morn, who's being, as you know, privately prosecuted by the president, which is absolutely amazing, had lunch yesterday. And the people who are the most optimistic and the funniest in South Africa are the investigative journalists who are at the coalface, who know what's going on, who sleep at night because they do know what's going on. And I'd like other people to share in that weird optimism that those of us who are digging up the bodies are finding. So
you mentioned
kind of the spark.
Something interesting, that they sleep at night because they know. I would largely be of the opinion, of course I want to be an informed South African, and I balance that, me being informed to make the better decisions, but that comes to the detriment of me sleeping well at night, because we know too much of all then the swear jars going up 3 times now, and I'll repeat you, knowing all the cuck that's going on.
Yes. Well, the thing is, at least if you know it, you can either prevent it or make sure it doesn't happen, or when it does happen, respond quicker. And we're very good in this country at the 5 minutes to midnight scenario. When it came to negotiating the constitution, the RVB drove through the windows, and the IFP didn't want to. And then when Chris Hani was murdered, we've been in this country at so many 5 minutes to midnight moments. But there's something inside us as people which is very pragmatic in the long run, but unfortunately at great cost. And at the moment, we all drive around and see people at every traffic light begging. People gone mad through poverty, gone mad through politics. And I do think South Africans are good people deep down inside, and that we care about each other. When we hate each other full on, and we say it.
Marianne, Between the Lines, It's at Deer Park Cafe. You've only set aside 50 tickets. Are those 50 tickets sold out?
Nee, this 8 for quips. They've gone. No. They've out. Okay. Gone. But that's okay because it's really something I can make portable. I can do it again. Mm. In fact, I can catch up the week's news because in South Africa, you turn your eyes for 1 second to the fridge. And you come back, and Zuma's prison sentence is over, and he's a free man. You know what I mean?
Make that money so you can pay for the swear jar. Marian Tam, veteran, journalist, editor, satirist, comedian, a show this weekend called Between the Lines. Unfortunately, I can't direct you to it because it's all 8 for Coop.